Good morning. Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this time of worship together at Faith Community United Methodist Church. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Happy Transfiguration Sunday to you. Happy Coins for Missions Sunday. It is Coins for Missions. The blue buckets are out on the table in the narthex. Invite you, if you didn't drop in your coins on your way in, drop in some coins on the way out, and those support a variety of mission projects, local, national, and worldwide, that we support as a church. I do want to mention there have been a few changes to the calendar due to the weather predictions for this week. So the Men of Faith group that was planning on meeting tomorrow evening is not going to be meeting. That Men of Faith is canceled. The Mission and Outreach Committee that was scheduled for Tuesday evening has moved their meeting back 1 week to next week, so please note that as well. The directories are in. They are here this morning, so hopefully you got yours last week, or if not, you got yours this morning. We have some dates on the calendar about those being distributed this Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm guessing that's probably not going to happen. So don't plan on getting your directory on Tuesday or Wednesday. Get it this morning if you can, and let others know that those are available. One more thing is just to mention that this Wednesday, of course, is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, and we don't have to worry about that being canceled because it's online. We're just having an online service this year, and so that will be online on Wednesday. That'll go out in the Wednesday email that comes out on Wednesday morning, so look for that and plan to spend some time at home in worship on this Ash Wednesday. I invite us into an attitude of worship now and invite you to stand as you're able for the call to worship.
Good morning. Please join with me in the call to worship. God summons us from the sun's rising to its setting. Listen, for the Mighty One speaks to us.
Our God comes and does not keep silent. Through fire and tempest, God is with us.
God gathers those faithful to the covenant. Be quick to respond to God's invitation.
We seek a double share of the prophet's spirit. We look for a vision to claim our souls.
Open your ears to the good news of the gospel. Open your eyes to the glory of God.
We have come to share knowledge of Jesus Christ. We gather seeking transformation and empowerment.
Please join with me in the opening hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, hymn number 384.
Excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with salvation and every trembling heart. Breathe, oh, breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find that second rest. Take away bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be, and a faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Please be seated and join with me in the opening prayer. Speak to us, mighty one, for we are eager to listen. Bless us as we cry out to you for strength and vision. You have acted in times past to save your people. Save us now. You have sent prophets to change the world. Change us now. You have granted light in Jesus Christ. Shine on us now. Let us see your glory. Lift us to the mountaintop in this time of prayer. Stay close to us to melt away our doubts. And do not leave us, we pray, through Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please join with us in the prayer hymn, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
Pray. O gracious and holy God, thank you, for we know that whether we are up or down, whether we are feeling high or feeling low, that you are our Lord, you are our friend, you are with us through it all, through the times of rejoicing, through the times of pain and struggle. Through all of our trials, you are the one strengthening us. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us, for being all that we need, for providing for all of our needs. We thank you that we know we can trust all of our cares and concerns to you. We can trust all of our loved ones to you. And so we call to mind now those who are struggling, those who are going through illness, those who are suffering some pain. We ask for your healing to be upon them, Lord. We ask for your grace and your mercy, and we ask it in confidence and in thanksgiving because we know, Lord, that you do provide for our greatest needs and for our best, even when we don't see it and even when we don't understand it. Lord, forgive us for those times that we don't understand, and so we try to go our own way, make our own things happen, rather than relying on what you have laid out for us. Forgive us for those times that we don't treat others with the same love and forbearance that you treat us. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on this congregation. Remind us that we are indeed heavenly bound. And help us to live as citizens of your kingdom, even here, even now, so that others might see your joy and your love working in us. They might see our faith and know that you are Lord. Lord, strengthen us for the days ahead to be your faithful witnesses through it all. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name as we offer to you now the prayer that he teaches us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Steve and Carol. Thanks for the message and the announcements, too. So, next, our scripture lesson comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, 8 through 14. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elijah said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah and had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah and had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elijah went over. The word of God for the people of God.
This is our last week in this series, Tales I Was Told. And I might be cheating a little bit with this one. We've been looking in this series at the big dramatic stories from the Old Testament that any of us who grew up in the church remember learning as children. This one, I'm not so sure. I mean, it is a big dramatic story from the Old Testament, and most of us have some vague recollection of the tale. But it probably didn't garner quite as much attention from us as did David battling Goliath or Jonah getting swallowed by a great fish. But still, when I think about some of the towering figures of the Old Testament, the great prophet Elijah certainly stands out among them. And of all of the fascinating tales regarding Elijah, this is probably the hallmark among them all. Elijah whisked away into heaven, riding chariots pulled by flaming horses, as Elisha looks on from below. Elijah, the prophet of God who has stood toe to toe against mighty kings and has defeated multitudes of false prophets. Elijah, who has spoken truth to power. Elijah, who has performed great and miraculous signs. He's now preparing to die. His time on this earth has come to an end. He knows it. Elisha knows it. All of the other prophets know it. It's plain for all to see. Elijah is going away. As he moves from place to place, first to Bethel, then to Jericho, then on to Jordan, each step along the way, Elijah tries to leave Elisha behind and move on by himself. Now, I don't know if he just wanted to die by himself in peace. I don't know if he figured that his time was over and he wanted Elisha to go on about his mission rather than staying with him. Whatever his reason, three times Elijah tells Elisha, "Stay here." And three times Elisha responded, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." As far as Elisha was concerned, Elijah was his master for life. As long as Elijah was still alive, Elisha had more to learn from him. As long as Elijah was still alive, Elisha could still serve him. And so, with Elijah, he went. First to Bethel, then to Jericho, then on to Jordan. It's there at the Jordan River that our passage for today begins. Elijah rolled up his mantle, his cloak, and he struck the river with it, and the waters of the river parted so that the two of them could cross on dry ground. That's an obvious allusion to Joshua parting the Jordan River for the Hebrews to cross over into the Promised Land, which was itself an allusion to Moses parting the waters of the Red Sea. In other words, Elijah is a prophet on the same magnitude as Moses. Having crossed over, knowing that his time was imminent, Elijah gives Elisha the opportunity to make one last request before his master is, in Elijah's words, taken from you. Elisha's request, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit. That's a pretty bold request, isn't it? Sounds even more bold, perhaps even insolent, if you misunderstand what Elijah is asking. By asking to receive his spirit, Elisha is not asking for Elijah's actual spirit. He's not asking for his soul or his personhood. He's not asking to become Elijah. Rather, he is asking to inherit Elijah's prophetic abilities, his miraculous gifts. That's what Elisha means by your spirit, your prophetic spirit, your mission and your ministry and the gifts from God to accomplish the task. In asking for a double share of that spirit, Elisha is not asking to be doubly blessed. He's not trying to be twice as great as Elijah. That would indeed be insolent. Rather, the double share referred to a portion of the inheritance received by the firstborn son. By the tradition of that culture at that time, when a father died, the inheritance was divided between the sons, and the oldest son got twice as much as all the rest. It was referred to as the double share of the inheritance. When Elisha asks to inherit a double share of Elijah's spirit, he's asking to be treated as Elijah's number one son, to be looked at as Elijah's own firstborn. Nothing insolent about it, but most certainly bold, considering they had no family relation to one another. Elijah responds that this is a hard request for him to grant. Not because he doesn't want to grant it, not because he wants his inheritance to go to someone else, but the fact is, the prophetic spirit, the calling to mission and ministry and the gifts from God to get the job done, that's not something that any human has any say over. Not even a human as gifted and powerful as Elijah. This is something that only God can give. What Elijah can do is offer Elisha a sign. A sign as to whether or not his request would be granted. He says, if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it will be granted. If not, it will not. Elijah's about to die. They both know that. But what happens, what normally happens when a person dies? Not a whole lot, actually. One moment the person's breathing, the next moment they're not. One moment the heart is still pumping, perhaps very slowly, perhaps very weakly, and then it's not. That's about it. There's not usually a whole lot of action when someone passes away. Elijah says to Elisha, if you see me as I'm being taken from you, then it will be granted to you. He's obviously not referring to Elisha seeing his lungs stop breathing or seeing his heart stop beating. If that's all he witnesses, then no luck for Elisha. But that is not at all what Elisha witnesses. Instead, he sees chariots and horses of fire sweep down through the skies and come barreling right between the two men. And when they lifted back up into the sky, they took Elijah on board with them, carrying him up into heaven. Now that's a dramatic exit. That's something to see. There had never been a person to exit the world in such a dramatic way before. There are two other Old Testament figures that tradition held might have ascended into heaven. Enoch, in Genesis chapter 5, the Bible says of Enoch, he walked with God, then he was no more because God took him. A tradition arose claiming that the phrase, he was no more because God took him, implied that God lifted him into heaven without Enoch dying. But the Bible doesn't actually make that claim. He was no more because God took him could very well just be another way of saying he died. The other one is Moses. The death of Moses is told in Deuteronomy 34. He died atop a mountain overlooking the promised land before the chosen people were allowed to go in. The Bible says that he died and was buried there, but that no one knows the site where he was buried. Some claimed that he had also been taken straight into heaven, and that's why no one knows the place where he's buried. But the Bible is perfectly clear in saying that he died and was buried. Not so with Elijah. This is no euphemistic, he was taken by God, a la Enoch. This is no, we don't know where he was buried, a la Moses. This is a very dramatic vision of Elijah being lifted into heaven, a vision witnessed by Elisha's own eyes. This was an amazing event. But dramatic and amazing as this scene was, the chariots and the horses of fire are not the focus of this story. Elijah's bodily ascension into heaven is not even the focus of this story. The focus of this story, the point of the entire episode, is to prove the fact that Elisha will indeed get what he requested. He will inherit the double share of Elijah's spirit. He will be treated as the principal son. He will take on the mission and ministry of Elijah and receive the gifts from God to get the job done. That is the primary concern of this Bible passage, illustrating the fact that the mission of God in this world does not die out with the death of a great leader or even the death of a miraculously gifted prophet. God will raise up other miraculously gifted prophets. God will call other great leaders to the task. God will continue to pour out the gifts necessary to accomplish his plan in the world. Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah. The mantle was the symbol of Elijah's authority and power. It was with his mantle that Elijah had first reached out to Elisha to invite him to follow. It was with his mantle that Elijah parted the waters of the Jordan River. And the first thing Elisha does with it, following the departure of Elijah, he parts those same waters in the same manner, using the same mantle. God's work and God's gifts get passed on from one generation to the next. The story of Elijah comes up a couple times in the story of Jesus. First is in relation to John the Baptist. Because Elijah was taken bodily into heaven without dying, tradition arose, and some of the later prophets even wrote in the Bible that Elijah would return to earth from heaven. He would come as the forerunner of the Messiah. This was one of the ways that the people of God would know that the Messiah was on his way, when they saw the return of Elijah. John the Baptist came as the forerunner of Christ. That's made clear in all of the Gospels. So does that then make John the Baptist Elijah? The answer is both yes and no. Even Jesus and John themselves say both. In the Gospel of Matthew 11:14, Jesus says of John the Baptist, he is Elijah who is to come. And in the Gospel of John 1:21, the priest asks John, what then, are you Elijah? And he answers, I am not. So what now? Jesus says John is Elijah. John himself says, I am not. Well, here's the thing. They're both right. When Jesus says of John the Baptist, if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Let anyone with ears listen. What Jesus is saying is that John the Baptist is indeed fulfilling the role prophesied of Elijah. He is indeed the forerunner of the Christ foretold by the prophets. John the Baptist is the one to whom the double share of Elijah's spirit has been passed on in his own day. But as far as the idea of John actually being Elijah himself, returned bodily from heaven, that's not who John the Baptist is. John is his own man, born to and raised by his own parents, Elizabeth and Zechariah. Miraculous as his birth was, it was a human birth. He grew up just like everyone else. He did not descend on the clouds from heaven. That's why when asked if he is Elijah, John says, I am not. Because he wasn't. He's John. But spiritually, prophetically, missionally, he was. That's why Jesus says of him, if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Let anyone with ears listen. But what about this idea of Elijah returning bodily from heaven? Does that prophecy just get done away with? Not at all. That one comes up in another story. It's a story known as the Transfiguration. And today, the last Sunday before Lent, it's Transfiguration Sunday. Here's how Mark tells the story. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. What the three disciples saw that day on top of that mountain was God's confirmation that Jesus was, in fact, the one prophesied throughout the entire Old Testament. We've been looking at that fact throughout this sermon series, Tales I Was Told. We're reading some of the popular Old Testament stories that we remember hearing over and over again since childhood, but looking at them a bit more deeply and discovering that each one of them in some way was pointing forward to Jesus. Every single story of the Old Testament in some manner leads to Jesus. The appearance of Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus and then disappearing from sight so that only Jesus is left perfectly exemplifies the fact Jesus is their completion. Jesus is their fulfillment. So let's return once more to the story of Elijah and Elisha to see what more we can learn about the gospel. In 2 Kings 2, Elisha plays the role of the disciple. Elijah plays the role of the master. Elisha follows the master everywhere he goes, refusing to leave him until the very end. He wants to savor every moment that he can with Elijah. He wants to learn every tidbit that there is to learn. And so it is with all disciples. So it is with us. At the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, most of his disciples deserted him. You recall that Peter denied ever knowing him. Most of the others hid in the distance. Only John walked all the way to the cross with him. But that is where Jesus calls all of us to go with him to the cross. We are to stay with him, just like Elisha stayed with Elijah, to stay with him, to savor every moment with him, to learn all the things that we can from him. How do we do that? We do that through any number of spiritual disciplines, through praying on a regular basis, through spending time in the Bible every day, through worshiping at every opportunity, through spiritual conversations with friends and church family, through calling Jesus to mind at all times, especially when facing struggles and challenges. We're coming up to the season of Lent, which begins this Wednesday, and it leads up to Easter. It's a time when we remember and reflect on Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem and to the cross. It's a time for spiritual introspection. Lent should be a time for us to savor every moment we have with Jesus and to stick with him all the way to the cross. A lot of people choose to give something up for Lent. If that's a part of your practice, then I encourage you to do it as a reminder of the sacrifice Jesus made for you to make you more mindful of Christ so that even as you suffer in some temporal way, you will savor his presence all the more. Whether you choose to give something up during Lent or not, I'd encourage you to take something on. Take on some new spiritual discipline, some new or renewed practice to make you more mindful of Christ, to become a better disciple, to grow ever closer to him, to learn ever more from him. Whether that be reading a certain amount from the Bible each day or praying at a certain time each day, serving in some ministry each week, initiating faith discussions with people that you don't normally talk with about faith, whatever you feel called to take up. Let us be in our own spiritual commitments as determined as Elisha was when he refused to leave Elijah, even for a moment. And when Elijah was taken from him, when Elijah ascended into heaven, that is a foreshadowing of the ascension. The ascension of Jesus. When Jesus, following his resurrection, following his many appearances to his disciples to prove himself alive, when he proved himself victorious over the grave, Jesus ascended on a cloud into heaven. And remember what Jesus promised the disciples would happen after the ascension. He told them that once he had ascended from them, he would send the Helper to them, the Spirit of power. Elisha asked for a double share of Elijah's spirit, and when he had seen Elijah ascend into heaven, he received it. He was empowered to do the same things Elijah had done. He was gifted to carry on the same prophetic ministry that Elijah had performed. After the disciples saw Jesus ascend into heaven, the disciples received his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the very same Spirit of God that had empowered Jesus' earthly ministry was now given to them. They were gifted to carry on the same ministry Jesus had performed. And remember what else Jesus had told them, that they would perform even greater things than he had. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit working in each and every one of them. You see, the message of 2 Kings 2 and the message of Pentecost are the same. God continues to pour out his Spirit. God continues to raise up amazing and miraculous leaders. The mission of God is passed on from one generation to the next. And it is the same God, the same Holy Spirit, making it all happen. And the mantle is now being passed to us. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can continue that same ministry. Amen. Our closing hymn is one that might not be as familiar to some of you. Some of you know it. It's Lift Every Voice and Sing in the hymnal number 519. I invite you to stand as you are able and join together.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to the place for which our Father we have come over a way that with tears has been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughter. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last where the white gleam of our bright star is cast. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought thou who hast by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee. Lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the world we forget thee. Shadow beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land.
Go now in the Spirit of God, knowing that you have been gifted with all that is needed to accomplish all that God requires of you. Go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.